When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to a very special episode of A Fistful of Collars. We've got none other than the special guest himself, Edwin Najmi, in the house. Woo, give it up for Flying Triangle Master, the Esteemalog, the Dask King. Edwin, it's a pleasure to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Looking forward to talking, stirring some stuff up.
Coming right in. I like it.
Let's go. Good start. Why are you in Texas? What's up?
Well, we filmed a fixture game with Chase this morning.
Super crucial.
He beat me up a little bit, cut some weight. Competing tomorrow night at Third Coast Grappling against Gianni Grippo.
Nice, dude.
We knocked out two birds with one stone.
Perfect.
This is the boys at Flow. This is a long time coming.
Man, we've wanted to get you here for a while, right? We've been talking about this, but it took the match to get you into town and stuff. So, like, awesome that we could make that opportunity.
I haven't. I've been to the airport a couple times. Okay, that's about it.
Okay, so first Austin
first time,
experience?
First time. Yeah, okay. It's
but
cool.
You've been,
it's
been
nice.
To Houston before?
I have. I've been to Texas quite a few times.
Okay.
First time in Austin.
Okay.
But so you got the competition coming up tomorrow night. How's the weight?
I'm struggling a little bit, you know. I was gonna say
we gotta take you to barbecue. I gotta show you the barbecue spots. You
know? I never thought in my life that I struggled to make 175, but I am struggling.
Getting a big boy, huh?
But I'm almost there. Yeah, I'm getting big. You know, I think when I got hurt earlier this year, I didn't train jiu-jitsu for 4 months.
Whoa!
So just got jacked.
Yeah, I was like just bored, like playing video games all day and lifting weights every day for like 7 days a week.
Sounds terrible.
So yeah, that's what it was like when you're a professional athlete and you have no other responsibilities. So
what game are you playing?
Big Fortnite guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. So yeah, I got pretty big. So now it's hard for me to lose the weight, but I feel like I'm pretty lean. I mean, you guys saw me today, but yeah.
Yeah, dude. You know, 175
is getting tough. 80cc is gonna be even tougher, but I think it's good for me though. It's a better advantage. I feel better being bigger and stronger. I think it's better for the injuries.
80cc is 170, right?
169.
Ooh, wow.
Pounds hold a difference.
But nothing great comes easy, so I think sacrifices make it you know more exciting. It makes you feel better. I like suffering. I like cutting weight. It makes me feel good. You know, like I think about that when I compete. Like when I just compete and everything's easy, just like you know,
something's awesome. It's not quite right.
I don't like to be injured. Like being injured sucks, but everything else, like kind of like suffering, the weight cut, the training. Like I think about all those things. It makes you go harder in the match. So
how'd you get hurt?
My knee?
Yeah. How'd you get hurt?
World Series of Grappling. I was competing against Tarsus. I tried to darts him up.
Such a sweet match. Such a sick match.
It was a crazy match, yeah.
It was a crazy match.
Yeah, I tore my ACL in the first, like, minute. And I ended up fighting, like, 5 minutes with that knee.
Wow.
I did, like, 3 flying triangles. You guys posted the video of him slamming me.
Guys, you were, like, fucking...
Sorry about that.
Like, I said, bro, don't do me dirty like that.
But you guys were like hucking each other around and like flying off the mat
and
stuff.
Crazy.
That was
a wild match. It was
an
insane
match,
and I fought the whole match with a torn ACL. So it was,
did you know right away?
No, I had no idea, honestly. Yeah. I mean, my knee popped, and then I passed his guard, I believe, like right when my knee popped. And then after, there was like all those scrambles.
You're like, okay, so it must be fine.
I'm kind of like a guy, like, I do like get injured a lot of times in matches, like before tournaments, but I just like try to gut it out always. I don't really complain, but... Yeah, after my knee was bad. Like, I was trying to step, my knee was wobbling. And then, like, my friend did, like, a little... It's called, like, the Lagman test, I think. My knee was messed up. So, yeah, I decided not to continue in the tournament. And then, ended up I tore my ACL, but I didn't have surgery, so that's good. I did rehab the back. It was only a grade 2 tear.
Man,
took a long time, though.
You've been kind of a little bit unlucky with injuries lately, right? You got into a car wreck recently and kind of like put you off the mat for a while,
too. Yeah, before my last match, because I was messed up. I didn't really talk about that at all, but I don't like to make excuses. But yeah, I didn't train for 2 months after that. So I basically didn't train for like 6 months, 7 months out of the last like 11 months.
So that kind of explains why you haven't competed maybe as much the last, like, the last year or so.
Maybe twice in the last 12 months.
Wow.
It's hard, yeah. So I feel like I just need, like, 4 or 5 more matches to get my rhythm back.
Yeah, that's probably not like you, right? Not been this for...
Yeah, my whole career I competed all the time, so like that made it a lot easier for me. It's kind of like playing basketball, you know? If you had 2 basketball matches a year, like, you wouldn't be good, you
true.
Know? Like, they'd every weekend.
True.
So, yeah, it's tough, man. So I feel like I just need a couple more matches to just get my rhythm back. And my style is just, like, you know, it's submission-oriented, and it's so based on, like, pushing the pace and getting the guy's face that, like... You know, even my last match, I was injured. I tried to do that, but after like 7-8 minutes, I was like, shit, you know, I got like, you know, like once like the tables turn, like I got tired, you know.
Do you find then that the time off hurts you because, you know, your style is very opportunistic, right?
It is, yeah.
And
timing.
You know, yeah. So if you haven't been competing that much, do you feel rusty when you kind of go back in there?
100%. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to like, getting healthy. I'm almost healthy.
Almost.
Somewhat healthy, yeah.
Almost, okay.
Did you find with the added muscle mass that things felt different when you got back on the mats?
Definitely. I felt a lot better. I think a lot of positions were easier. Mm. A lot easier to scramble, a lot easier like defend positions.
You train in a tough room as well, so that extra muscle mass probably helps, right?
It is nice. Yeah. I'm the smallest guy.
You're the smallest guy in the room.
Victor says he's the smallest, but he's lying. He's a little pit bull.
He's
but,
also super jacked. Like, yeah. Got these ribs.
He's a mini Mike Tyson. But I feel like I learned a lot about being actually like a professional athlete. Like, I feel like the injury is actually good for me. Mm. Even though, like, it was, like, it sucks. And, like, honestly, it could, like, derail a lot of people's careers. They might never recover from that, you know, just being off for that long. And, like, it's demotivating coming back, training a lot and losing. Okay. You know, it's like, shit, you know, I thought I did everything right, you know. But I learned a lot about, like, being a professional athlete.
Like, treating your body.
Treating my body right, yeah. Like, lifting weights the right way, like, nutrition, like, just everything, you know. Like, so, I don't know.
You think you kind of took that for granted before?
I did. My whole career, I took everything for granted, you know. Right. I feel like, you know, like talent brought me a long way, you know. Mm. A lot of matches I won, like, you'd be like, if you saw me how much I trained, and then, like, I tapped the guys I tapped or I wanted, like, holy shit, you know. But as you get older and, like, you go through experiences like that, you realize that, like, nothing beats hard work, you know, so... I'm working my way back with hard work. I'm not taking my talent for granted anymore. And I really believe that I have talent to be one of the best ever, you know? And I think
you've proven that for sure. Yeah.
I think one day, yeah, I'm going to look back to this moment and see that changed my career.
Let's talk a little bit about ADCC then, just because you mentioned it. Like, mm-hmm. obviously, you know, we you're not going to look ahead, you know, past Gianni tomorrow. That's the immediate thing. But... can't help but not think about ADCC. It's like, what now? We're in June, so it's July, August, September. It's just over 3 months away.
Mm-hmm.
First time you're competing in ADCC, right?
Yeah, I'm excited. I had a late invite last year, 2 years ago, but I got hurt, so I couldn't compete. So I'm looking forward to it. I've already started my training camp. It's like the first time ever I've started training this early, like even remotely close to starting this early for it. So I'm taking it very seriously.
You're seeing a lot of no-gi training from inside Northridge at the moment.
Yeah,
so
I never really trained no-gi in my life, honestly. Even when I fought like Davi Ramos and those guys in ACB, like I trained like a week of no-gi, 10 days no-gi. I never really liked no-gi, but I feel like it's better for my game. I feel like I use no-gi techniques in the gi. So I feel like if I actually train the gi for a little bit and like you know.
Have you hit a flying triangle in no-gi?
I think like lower belts, but I'm kind of scared, you know. You know,
a lot of space there just to be flying in the
getting
air.
Getting slammed, you know. Yeah. I think my game's a little more different.
Oh, slams in ADCC, of course. I keep forgetting about that.
You can slam out of a submission. That's right, cool, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. I think you can slam regardless. Oh no,
for takedowns.
You couldn't pick up from the guard, for example, and slam. You can slam like during, for example, like a double leg or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you couldn't pick somebody up from close guard and slam them. You have to be defending a submission to slam.
Yeah, nogi's a different sport, man. It's just like so much athleticism, like a lot more. Like it's a completely different game. So no grips, it just changes everything. But I think ADCC is like, dude, you can have a 40-minute match, so you can't just half-ass that or like just pray to like just jump on a Hail Mary submission. Like you really have to be the better
person.
A lot of strategy, a lot of cardio. You know?
Yeah,
long
like unbelievable cardio.
Sometimes.
So I'm already starting. I've already started running. getting ready for that. So it's gonna be fun.
Of course, you were there when Felipe won. I remember. I got some good footage of you celebrating that. That was a hype time for you guys.
That was wild. Yeah, that was a great match, man. Like Gordon was killing it, you know. And I was honestly kind of afraid, you know. I was like, man, Gordon's like on fire, you know. Like he might heal him.
He looked better than ever that day, right?
He did, you know. And Felipe looked kind of like, you know, he didn't look that sharp, you know. I mean, he tapped Bouchesh in absolute, but like, you know, he was like, Gordon looked good, so. Yeah, I was excited for Felipe. I like came up, like Felipe was always like 1 year ahead of me. Like, you know, I was always like one belt behind him. So like he was always a person that like I drew like inspiration from. I was like, man, if he could do it, I could do it. So I always try to match him, you know. So
he's a phenomenal athlete, right?
He's amazing, man. He's like it's crazy.
I think you train with him much?
Yeah, he goes nice on me. You know, he's a big boy, but I think pound for pound, I think he might have the best jiu-jitsu ever, in my opinion, you know, like fluidity-wise.
Especially
like,
the way he's able to go from gi and no gi back.
It's crazy,
and
you know, and yeah. He has like actually like very technical and good jiu-jitsu, so he's always someone that I looked up to, and like he's a close friend of mine, so.
What about the super fight? Of course, you know, he won the absolute in 2017, so that earns him the right to challenge Andre Galvao in the super fight in the upcoming ADCC. How do you see that going?
It's gonna be fireworks. I know there's like some tension between them. There's some beef
still.
Yeah,
it's been going on a while.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. You know, I think stylistically, obviously, Galvao has the advantage. He's the current champ, and like he knows how to win that rule set. You know, it's hard to beat Galvao on that rule set, but I think I know Felipe is not gonna take him lightly, and I know he's gonna train his ass off for that. So I think Felipe's gonna finish him.
And it's just one match as well. He doesn't have to worry about fighting through a stacked division.
It could be a 40-minute match.
It could be a 40-minute match.
That's true.
Are you guys gonna have a big camp going into ADCC?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I believe so. I
think because it's in LA as well, right?
Dude, like I can't wait, man. It's like I've never trained as hard, not even like half as hard as I'm gonna train for ADCC, because I know I'm gonna have at least 200 friends there, so I can't disappoint them. So I'm really excited, man. Wow. I'm ready to put on a show.
No, we've been talking about ADCC.
It's gonna be insane
since ADCC 2017.
The minute
ended.
I stepped on the plane, man, I'm like, ADCC 2019 is gonna be sick.
So crazy. Like we've been waiting for that for years, man. That 2017 Finland was incredible, and I totally agree. This one's gonna be
my first time there, and I felt the energy. Like everyone's like, it's different, man. Even the worlds, like people take it seriously, but I don't think anybody takes any tournament seriously as like ADCC. You know, you could tell like nobody
something
messes
special
around.
About it, right?
Yeah, every single person comes like 100% prepared.
Everybody there, like. Has a shot to win or wants to win, you know, like it's
exactly.
there's no gimme matches, like it's a 16-man bracket of just like straight top to bottom killers, especially this year.
And you can't make mistakes, man. Like I want to say, like you guys should do a study, but I feel like 90% of the time, the first person that scores a point wins, right? Pretty much, it's hard to score back in no gi.
True.
Especially because the time's in half by the time points come into play, right? The way that the rules are set
up. Yeah, it's wild. And yeah, this year it's insane. The brackets, I was looking at it, I'm like, dude, there's like literally not one. Like, every single person is tough.
Anyone in your division that you're looking forward to fighting? You got guys like Lucas Lepre, Hinato Canuto, DJ Jackson, Wagner. Anyone jumping out of you?
I mean, all of them, man. All the guys I've fought before.
77's wild, right?
You got Nicky Ryan in the mix now. He moved up from 66 to 77.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm looking forward to fighting all of them. The only person that I don't want to fight, which I'm gonna have to fight second fight, is my friend Servio.
Right.
That kind of sucks, but I mean, it is what it is. It's Olympics of our sport. And
you'll have to fight because you're on the same team, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's the only match I'm not looking forward to, but everybody
Servio
else.
Servio won trials, right?
Yeah, he did really good, man. He's a big, big 77
kilo. Dude, those trials in Brazil are no joke. I think it's like 6 matches to win gold as well. Like, so.
A long day.
No, he had crazy matches. He fought some tough guys. Like, I think Holo. And I think LaPella, there's some really tough guys. He had some tough matches.
Man, like, I'm just thinking back to I went to the last, not the last trials, but the 2 trials previously to that in Brazil. And obviously, we've covered the trials on both the East Coast and West Coast the last couple of years. And Chase, you were at the European trials and stuff. That's right. It's always like really interesting to see kind of who has to fight their way through.
Because,
you know, you really earn that spot right there in ADCC, right?
Yeah.
But
I'm glad I got the invite. Thank you.
I was going to say, are you kind of glad you kind of managed to find your way in there?
Not really. I think if I fought the trials, it would have been a good experience. I really tried to fight the trials, but like my knee wasn't ready yet, you know? Like it was like almost ready. But I couldn't risk it. Even my last match, I feel like my knee wasn't like, I feel like my knee now is finally like 100%. I'm confident in training without a brace. I even had a knee brace my last match.
Oh wow!
So
do you think your win over Davi Ramos helped get you this invite? Because Davi was the he was the 77 kilogram champion in 2015. Mm-hmm. He won the trials in Brazil and then submitted Lucas Lepre in the final. And that
crazy.
He's the only person to have ever submitted Lucas Lepre a black belt, by the way.
I believe
that's incredible.
That's
right?
A big stat right there. Yeah.
And then wow. Edwin goes out and taps out the at that time, because it was just prior to ADCC, champ, right? Mm-hmm. You beat the guy who was the guy. You beat the 77 kilogram defending champ. So
Definitely. I think that's definitely what got me the invite. You know, because I haven't really fought Nogi. That was my first Nogi tournament since purple belt or blue belt.
Wow, jeez.
Purple belt. I think I fought Nogi Pans in like 2013, and didn't fight Nogi until I fought Davi that day.
That's incredible. Literally. That was a wild match as well.
And I think I had like 2 weeks to train for it. I think I trained like 4 training sessions for it. I mean, not taking anything away from him, but like, but yeah. And then they asked me to fight that ADCC. They were like, you know, but I hurt my knee in that same GP against Marcio in the final. I tried taking his back and I hurt my LCL, so I couldn't fight. So, but yeah, I was definitely bugging Mo for an invite. I was like, yo, you gotta get me in here. I saw who won the trials. Like, I could beat these guys, you know, so. I'm glad I got the spot. I'm excited, man. I'm gonna take it very seriously, and I feel like my game is really hard to, you know. I feel like I have a good game,
man. Maybe if anything, crazy you have a little bit of a maybe an advantage, I suppose, or at least it's definitely a factor, at least in that because you haven't competed that much no gi over the last couple of years. I guess people don't really know what to expect apart from the DOS, right? Yeah. I mean, that's no secret. But the rest of it is kind of, what's he going
to
do?
Yeah, I'm going to be ready for 40 minutes of scrambles. I'm going to be ready to be a scramble god. So
there it is.
It's hard to scramble me, you know? I'm like a, what was the Drysdale and Braulio call me? Like a loose noodle, you know?
Loose noodle.
Or Keenan calls it too, like full noodle. I go full noodle when they take me down, you know? Like, even my last fight, I only got scored on because I fell off the stage, and he got 2 for that, but I feel like it's hard to pin me down, you know? I'm like, I'm lanky, you know? I'm like a little worm, you know? So.
But it was the match against Dante Leon obviously didn't go the way you wanted to, but looking back at that performance, what can you take from that now? And you know, the things you need to look at to fix going ahead?
I feel like just getting my rhythm back, getting my cardio back a little bit. Not like... I kind of like panic wrestled. I went for a stupid double leg for no reason, you know. But yeah, I just got a little frustrated because like he threw me out and he got 2, and then I threw him out a couple times and I didn't get 2.
So it's kind of just tightening things up a little
bit. Yeah, it's all good. That's just part of jiu-jitsu. Like, you're not gonna always win. You're not gonna like no one wins all the time, you know. Like, even like Bushesha loses. So it's like it is experience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one's undefeated in jiu-jitsu. Like, everyone wins, everyone loses. So it just experience, just getting back into it, you know. I feel like I need a couple matches like that.
It was a sick show, though, right?
It was a great show, yeah. I loved it, man. It was probably one of the best, maybe the best show I've competed in, I would say, like production-wise. It was cool. I probably should have got like a warm-up fight. Like, I literally had 0 warm-up matches before that.
Well, I mean, at that point, Dante was on a tear. He'd just come off submitting Mateus Lutz, and he'd had like a series of matches, and right now he's going to challenge Renato Canuto on the next Kasai, right?
I think people are like underestimating him. I think like he's going to do good, you know? It's not going to be easy for Renato.
What's your prediction for that one?
I feel like Dante could beat him, you know?
Really?
Yeah, he's just like hard to like hold down, you know? Like, but Renato's good. I like Renato's style a lot.
You and Renato kind of fight, have similar games,
similar,
right?
You know? Yeah. Like, he was like one belt behind me always, you know? Mm. And I always wanted to fight him. We never got to fight him.
You never did.
You guys have just kind of like missed each other like so many times, I feel like.
I'm a fan of Renato's game, you know?
Well, it could happen at ADCC 77. You guys are both
there.
He signed up too.
Wow, yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Maybe I could fight the winner for Kazai. We'll see.
There's that too. Yeah.
We'll see.
I'd like to see that. Gianni's a Kasai champion as well, right? He won the Grand Prix the 8-man last year at 145 pounds.
He beat me out, right, in the final?
He did, yeah. It was a crazy finish to that match right there. But Gianni's one of those guys that he competes a lot, right? So, you know, you mentioned there a little bit how kind of your inactivity is maybe kind of, you know, a factor recently. But, you know, what does that mean for going into the match against Gianni? Because he's such a consistent competitor, right?
That definitely gives him an advantage, for sure. Yeah.
Deal with that then?
I mean, there's nothing to do to deal with that, you know? That just makes him more sharp, I feel like. But it's like, I'm kind of like, I'm reckless, I'm careless, I don't really care, you know, like...
It's like putting on a show, huh?
Yeah, I'm cold-blooded, like, I don't let any of that stuff affect me, you know, it is what it is. If I lose, I lose. If I get stuck in a bad position, I try to get out, so, like, I don't think, like, I know it would help me, but, like, it doesn't, like, I'm not, like, mentally, like, you know, some guys, like, dwell on a lot of things like that, like, oh, man, like, I didn't have the right tape or something hurts, like, I can't fight how I want to fight. I just go out and do it and just see what happens, but... Definitely, that helps. Devil May Care attitude. Yeah. I just feel like with my style, too, it would be hard to be as active as Gianni, you know? He's more like a point fighter, right? Like, smarter. It's not a bad thing. Like, I wish I had the ability to win matches like that sometimes. That's probably why I'm damaged all the time, my body is. So it would be hard for me to be that active, but I would like to compete at least, like, once a month, twice a month.
So you're going to have to book active. Some matches between now and ADCC,
yes,
huh?
I will. Fight to win, maybe, said Seth.
Nice.
Yeah.
So. You hear that, Seth?
That'd be sick.
Get the man some warm-up matches for ADCC. Come on. We want to see the kid back
or
in
like
action.
Really tough ones that are awesome for us to watch.
Yeah. I don't care. I'm not a fan of anybody. But yeah, I just use the matches to just get my rhythm back. You know, I feel like when I was like at my peak, I was competing every weekend. And I mean, all the guys you see, like Kainan, he's just killing it.
Man, he's like competing nonstop.
Every weekend.
It's incredible.
But that
right?
makes it so much
How
better.
How does he have time to train? How's your time training?
He travels around
from Russia to Brazil.
But you almost don't need to. You need to train twice and you just recover for the tournament and you know how to fight. You know, the same with Hulk. You know, we saw him like Hulk was like kind of like, right? Like kind of like, I don't want to say average, but he wasn't like the best the first 2 years of Black Belt.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true.
And then he did like the whole tour. He became a monster, you know? So it just goes to show like consistency and like that rhythm, dude, it makes a huge difference, you know. And you learn how to win tough fights, you know.
Yeah,
that's the biggest part, you know. You see like those guys, they're gutting out like Kainan and Lucas. They're winning like tough fights, man. They're in like shitty positions, tough situations, and they get out and they win, you know. So,
Do you like watching then? Because you mentioned Kainan there is obviously a guy who stands out. But when you look at jiu-jitsu, you know, are you most pumped to watch your teammates fight, or you know, is there any other names out there you're like, oh damn, I like watching that kid?
Obviously, I love my teammates. You know, we're like a big team. Like we're a big family. You know, at Northridge, like we really like. I feel like a lot of teams like they say they support each other, but like I think we really support each other. Mm-hmm. Like honestly, like when I saw Gabriel and Philippe win, I was just as happy as if I won. You know, like I was like I think you took the picture, right? You sent.
I did that little clip of you kind of. Like you know, yeah. like just well, man,
was,
the look on your face
was,
when Gabriel
yeah,
won.
Yeah, I was like,
finals.
I was just
okay.
Maybe even happier than that one, you know, because I know how much work they put in. But besides them, I like to watch the guys that go forward. You know, I think Kainan is doing good. I love Leandro, man. I think he's like pound for pound one of the best ever. You know, he's a nice guy too.
I want to ask you about Nicholas Marigali.
He's a monster.
Because, dude, you have a lot of history. Or not a lot, but you have history with,
yeah.
right?
I'm undefeated. I'm never going to give him that chance. Sorry. No, but he's a beast, man. All jokes aside, he's a monster.
But I just want to explain. So you had that, what that was 2014, right?
I think so, yeah. Purple Belt.
2014.
So that was the Purple Belt Absolute Final.
Absolute mm-hmm. Final.
Wow.
And you had lost earlier, right, in the division?
Yeah, I was a featherweight. I lost my division in the featherweight to a guy that I beat a couple times. He beat me. I was sucked, man. I was like, crying. I didn't want to fight. I tried to fight the Absolute, but like there wasn't enough space for me, and like someone got hurt, and then I got a space to fight an Absolute, and my bracket was like insane. And I took like 6 scoops of pre-workout, and I was like, looked at Humble, I was like, okay, I gotta win, man. I'm probably gonna quit jiu-jitsu if I didn't, honestly, you know, because
wow.
I had 3 silver medals at the Worlds. I was like, dude, I can't win this shit.
And so you make it to the finals. Going into the finals, I mean, Nicholas Marigali had a pretty good reputation.
Well, before
at that,
look at my bracket. I beat.
Okay, yeah.
I tapped. Oh, so I fought the ultra heavyweight guy. I don't know his name. He's the only guy I didn't tap. He was like tough as shit. I won a referee decision. I think maybe I should have lost that fight, to be honest. It was like really close. And then I tapped John Combs. I triangled Jared Dopp. And then I triangled Budenberg.
Wow.
And then I fly and triangled Marigali. Not a lot of people know about that. Like,
man,
the,
that
the
is
run
a straight.
Was
I didn't know you
killers.
And I was a featherweight, you know? Wow. I was a featherweight. So it was insane.
Those are some big boys as well. Gutenberg, Dopp, and Marigali.
Yeah.
They're big dudes.
Dude, it's hard to know if a featherweight will ever win the Absolute Division.
I think
like,
I was,
ever again.
I think I'm the only
yeah,
one. Maybe? I don't know. Maybe there was another one, but I feel like I was one of the only ones. But you know what's funny though? I was joking about the whole season. I was joking in training, saying I'm gonna flying triangle this guy Marigali in the final. I was joking in all the trainings.
I was joking. I want to make that clear.
Because I never wanted to even fight the Absolute, but it just ended up happening. But yeah, I feel like I was just possessed. You know, some days you just have those days as a competitor.
Just on.
You felt
like you're gonna submit him going into the match.
Like yeah, you know you're just gonna make it happen. You know, like
it was fast as
it
well.
It's like
right?
destiny.
Right away.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just like I didn't know it at the beginning of the bracket, but after you submit like those 3-4 tough guys, you're in the final. I'm like, dude, I can't get silver again. Like, there's no, like, I'm gonna die. You know, like,
yeah.
this guy's literally gonna have to murder me. You know, so
pretty wild.
I feel like when you have like that kind of like focus and like you visualize it,
wow,
like it's you still could mess it up. You know, I mean, I visualized after I teared through the black belt division to beat Lucas Leprin in the final, and I got murdered. But it happens.
But it takes so far.
Yeah. So, but having that attitude definitely helps. But yeah, that was definitely like a turning point in my career. I think that day I went from being like a pretty good competitor to being like an elite competitor. So.
Well, speaking of like being an elite competitor, you know, you're a pan champion, you're a world championship silver medalist, yeah. ACB Grand Prix champion. You've done some pretty good things. But mm-hmm. is there a competition memory? Like, obviously, the Purple Belt Absolute was one we just discussed. But is there a competition memory that really stands out?
Like for me, honestly, like since I've always been like submission oriented, I feel like the quick wins and all that stuff that never like evolved me as a competitor. Even like since I was a white belt, like I used to, like I didn't know how to win by points, you know. So I feel like the fights that I was getting smashed in or I had to like overcome, like come back from, those are the matches like I always like remembered, you know. And those are the ones that made me so much better. Like I literally got better overnight. So yeah, I don't know. I've had a couple of those. I've had some pretty good comebacks. I fought Marcio one time. ACB was beating me 30-0.
And came back and tapped him.
Yeah, I came back and submitted him. I feel like that match made me like so much better, you know. Even at black belt, like I wasn't that good yet. I think that was a year. Yeah, I think that was like one of the more experiences that made me better. But I think the ones like anything you overcome in life, like any experience, not even just in jiu-jitsu, that makes you so much better. You know, I learned that through Homolo, and I feel like that was one of them. And I feel like I've had a couple of those, just like comeback fights. Those always feel better than just like tapping somebody, because you know, like you worked hard for it. You know, because anybody can submit anybody. You know.
Yeah, I don't know if I could ever submit Garagoli with the flying triangle, but it
could happen, you know. It could happen, you know. But like just getting smashed and coming back from that, I feel like that just like shows character, you know. And like champions need that, you know, to be a champion.
What's the role of getting smashed in the gym? Like coming up through the ranks, Homolo mentioned on our Road to Worlds tour that like he made you guys good by just smashing you. Like, does that still play a role?
Just or beat you up for 10 years straight.
What does that do for your mentality? Like,
I mean. I just like I used to get wrecked all the time, and I used to just think like, dude, there's no possible way someone could put this kind of pressure on me in the, you know, in a tournament, you know? Like there's no way. It's like mentally that's just preparing me for the worst, you know. So I think Danner had a good quote about that. Like you need half and half, you know. You need guys that are gonna smash you, or like, and then you need guys that you're just gonna absolutely just work completely offense on, you know.
Yeah, because that's the guys that you really get to refine those attacks, right? Mm-hmm. You need guys that you can beat up a bit so that you can kind of work that. Because if you're always on the defensive, again, training with monsters, you're never gonna develop that part of your game, right?
Yeah,
you're gonna be getting really tough, but how are you gonna tap people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like most of my submission game came from just like rolling your lower belts and just like trying to submit them as many times as I could, you know.
Bless them.
Yeah. I feel bad for them, you know. I probably have to give a couple of shout-outs to them, but it's all good. you guys know who you are.
In the long run.
They're the nameless, faceless, but they are the lifeblood of the gym, right? Because it's those fresh white and blue belts keep coming through the door.
But it's a cycle, too. Like, I ate that. Homie just tapped me 10 times in 6 minutes. Yikes. Every day, just beat the crap out of me. My whole face, I mean, look at I still get beat up, you know, if I train a homie. So you just pass it down.
Man, I gotta say, Chase and I, like you said, went there for Road to Worlds, and we've been there a couple times at Northridge, and we've been to a lot of gyms, of course. But yeah, man, Northridge is such an awesome gym, such an awesome place to train. And Homolo is what he's done there. Like the vibe is just such a great vibe, and all you guys are killers, and you got a bunch of brown belts and purple belts too, and it's a awesome kind of setup you guys got.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I think Homolo does a great job, of having I don't want to say hostile, but like, you know, everyone's trying to kill each other, like a war room. Mm-hmm. But then at the end of the day, everyone's cool. Like you guys saw that, right? Like,
yeah, 100%.
Everyone's literally trying to murder you and take your head off. But after training, like there's no cliques, you know, like everyone's friends, you know, everyone's hanging out.
Who's your toughest training partner?
I would say the most like same level training partner that I have the toughest roles with is probably Victor Severio.
Really?
Yeah.
He looks like a tough training partner.
He's been at the gym for about a year and a half.
Of course, the other guys, there's tougher guys than him, but I feel like we're the closest in like level and weight.
You go head to head.
Yeah, it's like the best head to head matchup, you know? Because you train with Gabriel, sometimes he's so technical, he's just gonna smash you, you know? Or like it's different, you know? He's like a little nicer.
Man,
like
Keenan, he had his new podcast with Josh Hinger just started up recently, and one thing that really jumped out at me from that was he actually said these words that Gabriel Arges is the most technical person that he's ever trained with.
I agree with that.
That's insane. Like Keenan saying that.
I agree with that. Yeah, he's literally the most technical guy. That's what I said. Like, he could just smoothly just smash you. And you're like, oh, like, I didn't spend any effort. I just got.
Akeeta said he's not even that strong.
He's not. Like, if you see Gabriel in the gym, like lifting weights, he literally looks like an old person. You know.
No, you hear that, Gabriel? Ouch.
It just shows how good his jiu-jitsu is. Dude. His jiu-jitsu is like, dude, yeah, it's insane. You know, like it's unbelievable. Like,
hey, he's 2-time world champion and closed out another one. So you don't do that by accident,
we're in a
right?
3, yeah, but yeah. but dude, yeah, Gabriel's jiu-jitsu is unbelievable. Like just. Like he's always been like that, you know. Just like pure technique, you know. Like just flow mastery. Like if you try to flow with him and not use like any like scrambles or athleticism, good luck, man.
That's his world.
Yeah, even Homo says like, dude, I gotta create like a war with Gabriel. You know, just try to throw him off a little bit because if you just go try to match with technique, you're gonna get killed every time. You know?
Wow.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
But, yeah,
his match in the final there, you know, like talk about guys who know how to win.
Oh, good. Zach,
that's what I'm talking about.
Is a guy who knows super how to win, and for Gabriel to beat him in that match, like that was such a.
There's a stunning, stunning.
You can see me. I'm like, when he does it in the same position twice, he beat him in the same position with the same amount.
Yeah, came
in the match with the same position, and it was the same thing. Like 20 seconds left, and he got out.
He's actually tough, man.
Yeah,
he's so tough, dude.
He's such a good competitor, man. Yeah. He knows how to win, man. He's got it down to the T. Yeah. So.
Gabriel's like the only guy that's beat him, I think, in like the last 16-18 months.
It's crazy because like Gabriel used to lose him as lower belts like all the time, and then like he got his number like when he got his black belt. So it's just like it's crazy how like life works, you know. But yeah,
I feel Gabriel getting his black belt on the podium. I remember that
Nogi Worlds 2015.
Yeah, that was like so early. Jeez,
that's like right when we launched.
Longest
the full
time.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah. Feels like 100 years ago.
And it's crazy because I got mine at 2015 Gi Worlds.
Okay, yeah,
I won, and like me and Gabriel were like training partners, you know, like we were like winning everything together, and he lost. And Homo didn't give it to him. And
he had to wait until the end of the year.
And I kind of felt bad. And I almost like told him, like, man, like, maybe you should give it to him. He's like, no, I'm going to wait. You know, it's going to make him better. Trust me, you know? And I ended up like, man.
So crushes Nogi
World. Freaking Gabe. Now he has a black belt title. I don't know. Now I got to get it to him.
Homo knows.
I wish I lost. Yeah. But, yeah, man. Gabe has always been good at, you know, just coming back from adversity. You know, he's always been good at that. You know, even like, he's like, lowest moments of his career, he's always like been really good at bouncing back from that, you know. It's like
you guys been training together since what, purple belt?
No, blue belt.
Blue
2012.
Wow. Okay.
Homo literally went to Brazil and he met him in Belo Horizonte and he said, well, what are you? And he's like, oh, blue belt lightweight. He's like, dude, I need you. I need you to come push one of my students, you know. He's like, you're the guy that's gonna excel him to be great, you know. And like that was me, you know.
That's
and
so cool, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I've been friends with him
we were talking
years,
about this a little bit earlier when we were kind of driving around and you know, the fact that Homolo is from the state in Brazil called Minas Gerais. And Minas Gerais is a big old state, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like a small state. It's a big old state and there's lots of big cities. But it's produced so many high-level guys in jiu-jitsu. And like just reeling off a few names. So, of course, Homolo, Felipe, and Gabriel Arges are all from Minas Gerais. Mm-hmm. But then guys like Lucas Lepre, Marcelo Garcia, Bernardo Faria, they're all from Minas Gerais as well. It's like, what's in the water there, dude?
I was just going to say that. What's in the water?
Alternate Manaus, so that's the other one, the other hot spot.
And they're all nice guys, which is the craziest part about it, right?
They are super nice dudes.
They're all like super like, you know. Like,
even in Brazil, people from Minas Gerais like have a reputation as being really, really
they're
nice.
They're so like soft and nice. Wow.
Like they're
you know?
Hospitable and stuff and just nice dudes. Yeah.
They're really, really good at jiu-jitsu.
I
think it's the their famous Minas cheese, maybe, huh?
Oh, the Minas cheese?
Yeah,
queijo Minas?
Yeah,
oh,
queijo
so
de
good.
Minas, pão de queijo, maybe it's that.
That's
dude.
The stuff.
If you ever have pão de queijo from there, that's the heat. That's the real heat.
The jiu-jitsu in Minas Gerais, apparently, like, it wasn't really much going on, and the guy who really went there and founded everything was, of course, now, not too far from us, over in Houston, was Draculino.
Yeah.
He was the man. He was the guy from Gracie Baja who left in the 80s, and he went and he kind of really founded the jiu-jitsu scene over there.
Yeah.
And the Gracie Baja, actually in Belo Horizonte, which he was responsible for setting up, it's an absolute powerhouse
it's
team.
It's insane.
Right?
I think they have like 200 black belts, or maybe more than that.
Oh my God.
It's insane. I went to train there as a purple belt, and like the new class had like 40 black belts, and I'm like, is this real life? And everyone's good.
Oh yeah, they are.
And everyone there is like good at like everyone has like their specialty. Like, you know, every black belt has their own move, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And all these guys are wrecking me. I'm like, dude, like, what is this, you know?
I want to go home.
You're purple belt. And, you know, like, when I started training jiu-jitsu, the home was only black belt in my gym, you know? There was one brown belt. So, like, for me to go there, like, 3 years later, get my purple belt, I'm like, holy shit, there's 40 black belts
in perspective,
the mat.
Right?
Yeah.
Man, I just remember. Told some stories just like that, too.
Like Brazil.
Never seen a black belt and going down to Brazil. And
it's insane.
Like 20 of them in the same room.
And,
like, yeah.
And they're all nice, man. They're all good guys. And they have a lot of, like, low-key, really, really good competitors.
They do, and a lot of guys who maybe don't travel or are so well known,
speak
right?
English, yeah. Like, they kind of came up like when social media wasn't big, you know. But there's like, man, there's like, you train with some of those guys, they're animals. Chuchico, Kaloquinha, those guys.
Chuchico, if people don't realize that, he's like of a kind of a previous generation, but that's Felipe Pena's older brother,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Augusto, and I think I'm not even sure,
Fernando, his younger brother.
Augusto Fernando is what he's known as. I think Casalage is the kind of the surname that he uses,
yeah.
It's kind of crazy in Brazilian families, you have people from the same family and they choose which of the two or three surnames that they have that they're known by. So there's Felipe Pena, but then his younger brother is known by a different last name and his older brother is another one. It's like, what the hell? But anyway, just to make it more confusing. But yeah. Dude, Chuchico is a straight up animal, right?
You see, one of the best competitors at brown belt and like first year black belt. Dude, he had some crazy matches.
He doesn't even compete anymore. He's like working like businessman and stuff.
Yeah, he's just chilling. But if you train with him, dude, he's just as tough as any black belt today. Oh, you know? Like he's
intense.
Those guys scare me more. The guys that don't compete, and you walk down and you see like someone give him a taste and he eats a tough roll. And like, who is this random black belt like rolling with a taste?
Dude, he could probably drink like 20 beers and beat me up. he's an animal.
And another guy from Minas Gerais, Matheus Diniz.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So
there's a lot of guys. Yeah,
yeah. About Felipe Pena, actually, just to put it in perspective,
nice
how good he is. Right, is that. I remember I traveled to Minas Gerais and I visited his city and I did some filming with him at his home gym and you know, at Gracie Baja and stuff. And he did a Nogi session at this gym. And it was, I think it was 2014, I think. I went there and Felipe just wrecked everybody in the room. There was like maybe a session and he rolled with like, let's say 10, 12 guys and he just wrecked every single one of them. But it's Nogi, right?
He's the worst. By the way, he's like the meanest person to train with ever. You know, Philippe. Well, if you score a point on him, God bless you. You know,
he's gonna make your life a misery.
You're getting what we like to call double dipped in our gym. We call it double dipped. You know, okay, it's when that? The round ends. He goes, let's go again.
So, oh, you
know,
oh,
it's like
no.
A chicken tender. You know, you dip it twice in the sauce. You know,
Philippe
he's
just
a master double dipper.
Philippe ran through everybody in this room, and then afterwards, at the end of the session, I was kind of like, so what belt were those guys? Like purple, brown? And he's like, No, every single one of them was a black belt. Like,
oh, man.
That's how good Felipe is. You're saying about the level there, and then he's just like another levels and levels above, right?
No, yeah, he's on a complete different level. He just understands jiu-jitsu so well, you know? Like,
what makes him so special as a competitor then? Because you've known him a long time, right?
His will to win, you know?
Yeah?
I feel like everybody, he just wants to win so bad, you know? And we all do too, and a lot of people say that, but it's just like, I don't know. He has that magic. He just makes it happen. Like every time, almost.
He's also like magical ability to take people's backs from any position.
It's
right?
Unbelievable. Like he just like makes it happen, man. Like he really steps up to the plate. You know, the bigger the moment is, he really steps up to it. You know, like a lot of people thought he'd lose to Gordon, and like he always rises to the occasion. Like in the ADCC against Gordon, like he lost the weight class, he came back. You know, people are like, you're doubting him. Man, last year's Worlds, he couldn't even walk. He had ice packs on both. He had like both his arms, both his knees.
His feet were in a bad way.
He was literally a mummy. You know, he was just laying down. I swear, he couldn't even get up. And then
terrible.
He just, no one thought he could even fight. And then just ended up winning the Worlds. It's crazy, dude. So like, his drive to win, his will to win is just like, you know, it's unparalleled. You know, it's unmatched. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He didn't have
that's what I'm looking for.
He didn't have an easy run this year as well. And of course, he did the absolute as well, right?
Yeah, he had a tough fight with Buchecha.
Yeah,
but that was a referee decision.
Couldn't have been any tighter. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it was a close fight. You know, I think they're like really good friends. Buchecha is a really nice guy. I feel like, it was a close fight. It's like, if you know, you can't really beat the champ like that. You know, it was a right call. People were complaining that Philippe won, but I feel like it's hard to beat the absolute champ with the referee decision. You know, I wouldn't want to beat him like that either way. You know, if you're the champ.
Yeah,
you have to kind of beat the champ,
100%,
right?
100%.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So I think if there's any other match, Philippe kind of like pushed the pace, but I think it was the right call.
In a referee's decision, it's so tough.
You can never
right?
complain, man. You can never complain. You can never complain. You know. But yeah, that was a great match, man. Buchecha is just—it's crazy, man. His consistency to be the best for that long—it's unbelievable. And coming back from a knee surgery, a lot of people doubted him, and then
That's another guy to me that has that will to win. Like, he's always in a bad position, I feel like. He always starts off in some weird spot, but he's beast out of it. You know?
I put like
he's him, good at that.
Him, Lowe, and Philippe are like my top three in like in that category. He just like they just I don't know, it's insane.
They're
right?
like they're like God status competitors. It's insane. They really are. Yeah.
Even Lowe, like he was banged up, man. That Jackson Souza fight where he swept him, I was like, man, Jackson's like gonna beat him, and then he just throws him back. I'm like, wow.
So I was actually talking to Jackson after that match, and he said that he felt Leandro's knee pop on that knee bar attack.
Really? Yeah, his knee was really messed up, man.
It was terrible. And they were talking to each other. You go back and watch the match, and you can see right after that they kind of reset in the middle, and Jackson's talking to Leandro, and they're both kind of shaking
right,
their heads.
They did, yeah.
Jack's like, hey, bro, like your knee is kind of messed up, man. Like,
wow.
Can you fight? Like, let's just call it.
His knee was wrecked.
And Leandro was like, let's go.
Nah, let's just go. I'm good. Let's do it.
All he said was go. Like, let's fight.
Wow.
Wants to smoke, dude. He wants to smoke.
Yeah. I didn't even know about that until after.
Talking about, like, you want to be a world champion. Or
that's what it takes.
Jeez.
I mean, yeah, he paid for that in the final. It was hard for him to fight.
Oh, yeah,
still, you know.
See it for sure. By the way, shout out to Bill Cooper watching the stream right now. Gave a big up to Edwin earlier.
What's up, Bill Cooper? The American legend. One of the first pioneers.
He was a pioneer of the DOS back
the
in the day.
The OG
well,
DOS
right?
King, yeah, yes, sir. Shout out. He's a good dude. Nice. Him and Jeff Glover.
American Jiu-Jitsu has come a long way, right?
It's insane, right? Yeah, there used to be only a couple guys. Now it's like, not taking over, but like we got a pretty solid squad.
There's people in every division, I feel like, that are competitive at the world level.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know if we'd ever be able to compete, like to have the same numbers as Brazilians. We never will because it's their sport. You know, it's the same as like Brazilian trying to take over wrestling. You know, like it's always gonna be American dominant. But I feel like we're at a pretty good level, and I think I'm happy with it. You know, I feel like if we get a couple more champions, it'd be cool. Mm. But
are there any up and comers maybe that we should keep an eye on in the Americans coming
through?
Heard
about this guy Mikey Musumeci?
He's all right. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
No, he's a beast. Yeah, there's a lot, man. I feel like there's a lot. Right now, the up-and-comers, like, there's a lot of Americans, like almost the same as Brazilians, right? There's a lot of up-and-comers.
Kind of chipping away. Anybody in your gym that we should know about?
Yeah, we got a couple. We got Zane Spruce, Brown Bull. Keenan was giving a lot of shout-outs.
Yeah, he had a great tournament, too.
He had a great tournament, man. Yeah. He had a really tough bracket.
I've actually watched all his matches, I think.
Yeah, he did great, man. He's a beast. He just needs to, like, learn how to, like, just like compete, a little more experience, but like he has the skill set and athleticism. Dude, he's a football player. Like he should be playing in the NFL.
His brother is a professional athlete, right?
Yeah, he's playing NFL. He's a wide receiver.
Wow!
Shout out Nelson Spruce, but one of the best Pac-12 receivers of all time. Actually, the best Pac-12 receiver of all time. So
where are you going to school?
Colorado.
Oh, okay.
So he got the genes. So I feel like Zane will have that breakthrough. He just needs a little more experience. I mean, he beat like two tough guys, and then
he hit that first match against that Felipe Hosha.
Oh, I missed that match.
Where's he training now? Unity,
from Unity. Yeah.
He tapped him, and then he beat the guy from Brotherhood.
Wow.
Second fight, and then he lost to the champ. Third fight, he was losing 10-0.
Right.
He was losing 10-0.
And then he came back and like
swept him, mounted him, and did a fight with a cross choke, and but the time ended. So, but man, yeah, he was training good. Keenan was a big fan. Keenan was like, man, where did this guy come from?
I was like, did you get a role with Keenan?
I'm knowing about this guy. Me?
Yeah.
No, because I went to Puerto Rico
for
like 10 days,
right.
And I came back. I was a little banged up, and like he was training with other guys.
And then
like,
you had that car wreck.
Yeah, and like I'm not going to like, he just trained like 3 rounds with Philippe. I'm not going to just call him out, I'm not one of those gym warriors, but I would love
that's
to.
That's a smart move, though. That's my move, right? He's pretty tired over there. Like, let's try a round.
I hate when someone does that to me,
Yeah.
I see him wrestling for like 2-3 rounds. I'm like, yo, you want to go? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. You can get it if you
but
want.
But we were looking at some stuff in the gym earlier because we shot the episode of Fix My Game, which will be coming out soon. But of course, anytime we're on the mat, we're always kind of playing around. Hey, have you seen this and stuff? But you picked up some stuff, right?
I did, yeah. Keenan showed us some of the cool tricks. He blessed us with the Worm Guard Encyclopedia. Ooh. It's some good stuff.
Nice.
Definitely changed my game,
Just have to wait until geese season to use it, right?
Yeah. My guard was pretty rough the past couple of years, but instead of a 5-lane freeway, now it's like a 1-lane freeway. The Worm Guard saved me a little bit. So.
Okay, very nice.
That's a good little...
Is lapel guard the future?
Right.
That's what Keenan's saying.
Yeah, I think so. I think like any kind of lapel is just great because like... The conventional guard is so hard, just everyone knows how to pass it, And like being defensive, especially without the lapels, is just so difficult, man. You got to absorb a lot of pressure.
It seemed like every guard I saw at Worlds had the lapel involved in some
lot of lapel this year. A lot of lapel,
so
for sure.
I think every freaking guard has got some kind of lapel going on.
And every belt, too, was
it's
using
crazy.
It.
So yeah, I think Keenan definitely changed the game forever, man. He's a pioneer. Like, if he doesn't win a world title, I'm sure he will. But if he doesn't, he's a legend forever for that. His influence in the sport, so.
people still actually like they maybe not even realize that he hasn't won a world title, right?
It's crazy
because his name is so solidified in jiu-jitsu. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, he's a world champion, right? Actually, no, he's never quite managed to do it.
But. Yeah, it just goes to show that, like, I mean, the world title is amazing, and I feel like he will get it one day. But even if he doesn't, like the contributions you give to the sport and like the brand you build around yourself, like the people like you for much more than like the titles you win. You know, they like you more for your style and, you know, like the way you compete and like.
That's
know,
definitely something you've tried to balance out.
For
as
sure,
well, right?
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, a lot of people think I won a world title, and it's like, no, I got second. You know, I won purple belt, brown belt world titles, but hopefully I'll get my black belt world title. I'm confident I will. But well,
you mentioned there about the contribution to the sport then, and, you know, kind of coming up to that time where it's almost time to wrap up the conversation. But I guess, yeah, what are you hoping to do? What are you hoping to contribute to jiu-jitsu?
Man, being yourself, I feel a lot of people are like robots. They're just like trying to mimic everybody. And like I was always like a guy that I just tried to be myself. You know, I wasn't fake. I didn't try to like be anybody else. You know, like I just see a lot of these kids. I try to be like submission oriented. I feel like no one really at black belt is kind of like that, right? Coming out of headhunting. So bringing that, I think a lot of the submissions I used weren't really ever used in jiu-jitsu and the gi, you know? Flying triangle was like kind of like a non-existent, right? Like a one-time move. The dart stroke was like not really used in the gi, so just bringing that, you know, into that, bring a little more swagger, you know, a little more, you know, like
definitely plenty of that, yeah.
You know, like you can have personality, you can have like a different style, you know, you can speak your mind, but you can be seen as not being cocky, you know. Like a lot of people are like, yo, is Najmi cocky? And I'm like, no, I'm not cocky at all. I'm like, I strive to be like one of like a nice guy and a good person, but you can still be different and be that good person, you know. Does
yeah,
that
you
make
don't
sense?
Talk trash, right? You do have a little bit of swagger about
yeah,
you, but you're,
which is fine. Like you yeah, can be yeah. different, you know. People like try to. People are like confuse like cockiness and confidence, I guess, you know, all the time. So I just want to like show people like you can be yourself, you know. You can listen to that rap music. You can go in your gold gi if you want to, whatever, you know. You can have the crazy haircut.
I
but,
like to see that gold
but
gi. Yeah.
But you can still be. But you can still be a nice guy, you know. So 100%. Like, there's
you better be if you're wearing a gold gi. You better be a super nice guy.
or don't lose because we're gonna roast you on full gap.
Well, man, any shout outs?
Good lesson. It's a good lesson. For
huh?
Sure.
Any shout outs you want to make?
Shout out my team, shout out Flow Grappling, shout out Storm Kimonos, Everyday Pojada, Dot Fit, everyone that supports me.
Head those down, man. That was ready to go. Boom.
And you got obviously the grand opening of your gym is imminent.
Yes.
GB Tarzana, right?
GB Tarzana next week.
Congrats, dude.
Thank you so
a lot
much.
Of hard work, right?
Monster Construction, yes. Wow. Big moment in my life. 26 years old. Holy shit, I'm getting old. But yeah, being a business owner, it's not easy. But I'm looking forward to it. I got the best partner in the game, Homla Bahal. And,
he's gonna be teaching classes, right? He'll be
yeah, we're gonna be splitting the duties. So like a lot of people think he's like only in my gym, but people don't realize it's gonna be me and Homolo. So I feel like, I mean, you
that's pretty sick, man. That's pretty awesome.
Nice. Yeah. As if it wasn't enough to go train with Eben Najmi, now you get both.
You get the best of both worlds from two generations. I feel like in any other sport, it's like it's pretty hard to find that. So I'm lucky. I'm excited. I think it's only gonna make me better at jiu-jitsu. It's gonna make me like more focused on jiu-jitsu. I'm like my philosophy on training was like a little different like in the past couple of years. I kind of like tried to enjoy my life outside of jiu-jitsu a little more, but then now I'm like realizing that like talent and like messing around like that can only take you so far. And like I could easily just say like, yeah, it's cool, like I'm okay with it. I've accomplished my name and everything, and you know, like a lot of people could train a lot and not ever get there, but I believe like I have like the talent to be one of the best ever. So I'm like now I'm like more focused and more locked in on jiu-jitsu, you know. So
you're
like
kind of in the prime of your athletic career as well.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I feel like the gym will only help me. Well, it's only going to help me achieve my goals, you know, maybe more focused on jiu-jitsu and training hard. So I'm looking forward to that. I got like 5-6 years left in this and trying to leave my mark on the sport.
Awesome. Well, Edwin, man, it's been so good to have you here in the studio. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you guys.
So competing on Friday, June 21st in Houston, correct? Against Gianni Grippo,
yes,
in a no-gi match on Third Coast Grappling. Check Edwin out live or on demand, of course. That's going to be on Flow Grappling this weekend.
I'll wait for that one, man. It's going to be a crazy event.
If you're competing in an event, it's not on Flow Grappling. It's not really an event. So.
There you go.
Sorry.
Man himself says so. And we've got the episode of Fix My Game coming out soon as well, which should be freaking awesome.
Absolutely.
Right?
If you guys haven't seen the show, Fix My Game is pretty straightforward. I roll with Edwin or any other high level of black belt. They beat me up a little bit, and then they try and fix some things as much as they can. I got a lot to work with, so it's really fun. I had a good time with Edwin. Did some darces and esteema locks, all kinds of good stuff. So
yeah,
keep an eye out for that.
Super cool.
Yeah, if you're my division, don't watch that video. Yeah, we exposed my whole game, but everybody else, check it out.
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in, and we will see you again next time.